السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر، إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله والفضل كرم إحسان فالله تعالى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed for us to gather in His house on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah and to make some mudhakara of some aspect of this beautiful deen that Allah ta'ala has blessed us with. Before continuing with our actual topic, so last night we had the good fortune of sitting in the majlis of Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Magda of Durban. Maulana mentioned two beautiful points which I will share with you. One is, he mentioned that as far as possible we must try to be independent. And what he was referring to is being independent at home. That we mustn't expect to be served. We must try and do our work ourselves. And we must serve. Because this was the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he used to also partake in the household chores. So we must also make some khidmah in the house. The second thing, as Maulana mentioned, is that whenever we go home, we should go home cheerfully. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had so many responsibilities. He had to change the ideology of an entire nation, which must last now till Qiyamah. He had to groom the Ummah. He had to prepare such rijal who will take the message of Deen to the four corners of the world. All this was on his shoulders, but whenever he came home smiling. Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiyallahu anhunna ajma'een, they explain that whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam came home, he was always cheerful, he was always smiling. So whatever our worries may be and whatever difficulties we may be going through, we must leave all that when we're wiping our shoes on the mat before we enter the house. When we enter the home, enter home cheerfully. This is the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to practice on this. Our late Shaykh, Marana Yunus Patel rahimahullah, he once mentioned to us that he was traveling from Pinetown to Durban. People that are from that area, you will understand the road, and people that are from Cape Town. So it's a place that's just outside Durban, 10-15 minute drive to Durban. So he was traveling on that road, and there was a brother that was hitchhiking, looking for a lift. And that was the days when you could still stop and give somebody a lift. Nowadays, if you stop to give somebody a lift, you may get lifted. So Allah Ta'ala protect us all. So Hazrat Maulana stopped and he gave this man a lift. So this person got into the car and they got into a bit of a conversation. So Maulana asked him, so where are you coming from, where are you working, whatever. So he said that, no, I used to work, but I've now resigned from my job. He had a job, he was earning, able to take care of his expenses, etc. But now he has resigned from the job. So Mawlana asked him, but you know, why did you resign? You had some problem, whatever. So he says, no. I received this thing in the post. And he took out an envelope from his pocket. The older people will know, before they came out with this shaitan in our phone, you know, the devil we carry in our pockets, before they invented that, and people used to read a lot. So there was a magazine that used to come out that was called Reader's Digest. The older people will remember Reader's Digest. So Reader's Digest, they used to have all these phony competitions in there. And in order to, you know, keep the people on a string, so they would send you a letter in the post that you have now won 200,000, and that time it was a lot of money. You won so much of money and you are from the final, now you're in the final list, and just one more draw left and whatever. So this fellow received one letter in the post, you're a winner, whatever. And now he's going to get so much of money, and all he needs to do is just subscribe to something and whatever. So this fellow received that, he showed it to his wife, he said, well, I can retire now. He gave up his job, and they're already preparing a party at home. So they're preparing a party now, going to invite everybody once this money comes through. So Mawlana is explaining to him that, brother, you rather go back to your company, because all this is a hoax. You're not going to win any money. So he is telling Mawlana, I said, no, it's for real. Here's it written here, it's in black and white, it's written here, it's for real. They sent me a letter. Mawlana is explaining to him, brother, they sent you a letter, they sent so many other people letters also. You're not going to win anything, just go back to your job. He didn't want to listen to that. Going back to hard work, toiling, all, he didn't want to listen to all of that. He was in this dream of his, that I'm going to win so much of money, and now I'm set for the rest of my life. I'm going to enjoy myself. And so when I think of this example, and I think of our lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us into the world, and Allah ta'ala has given us limited time. Some have come with 40 years, 50 years. Yesterday, there was a young brother, on Wednesday, from Durban, traveling from Johannesburg by road, just outside Pietermaritzburg, meets in an accident, passes away. He was set to have lunch in Pietermaritzburg. He already had appointments set for the next day, whatever. Come from a wealthy family also. Meets in an accident and he passes away. Hardly 35 years old. So some people have come with that amount of life. Some have come with 50 years, 60 years, 80 years. Even if a person has come with 150 years, one day we have to depart. So Allah Ta'ala has given us this window period that we are going to spend in the world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a mission. That He didn't just put us in the world just to pass our time. Allah Ta'ala asks in the Quran, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أنما خلقناكم عبثا وأنكم إلينا لا ترجعون. That do you think that you have just been created in futility and you are not going to return to us? So we have a mission. Allah Ta'ala has put us here for a purpose. And what is that purpose? That purpose is to recognize who our Allah is. And to pass away on iman in a condition that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with us and we are following the sunnah of our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the reason Allah Ta'ala has put us here on earth. But it's not going to be so easy. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned towards the end of the hadith, إِنَّ السِّلْعَةَ اللَّهِ غَالِيَةِ إِنَّ السِّلْعَةَ اللَّهِ الْجَنَّةِ. The merchandise of Allah Ta'ala is expensive. And the merchandise of Allah Ta'ala is Jannah. So it's not just going to be so easy. Allah Ta'ala has put us in the world and we have tests. Different things try to distract us from our mission. From what we're supposed to be doing, we have different distractions. Things try to take us away. Whether it's worry, whether it's a pretty face, whether it's hobbies, whether it's health issues, wealth issues, wife issues, whatever it may be, takes us away. Sins, all these things take us away from our mission in life. My mission is to recognize who Allah Ta'ala is. I'm supposed to be following the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I must carry out such a'mal that Allah in His mercy will grant me death upon iman. Then I have been successful. Radical fawzul kabir, that is the great success. But all these different things take us away. And sometimes we get so engrossed and so caught up in all these various avenues, these various distractions, that we forget the real thing. We forget that we are journeying to an end. We forget that there is a qiyamah that is going to take place. And we are going to have to stand in front of Allah Ta'ala and give an account of our actions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to question us that this life I gave you, how did you spend it? The wealth that I bestowed upon you, how did you earn it? How did you spend it? Health that I gave you, how did you use it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to question us on each ni'mah, each bounty. And we are going to have to answer. So sometimes this becomes like something abstract. It becomes like something very, very distant. And things that are not really important deceive us into giving such importance to those matters. Whereas in the real scope of things, they don't even really matter. They don't even really matter. So Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. That this worldly life is just deception. It's just deception. Now if you look at this person, the Reader's Digest gentleman, how deceived he was by this letter, thinking that now I made it. And his real cause, which was for his benefit in this world, he caused destruction to himself. He gave up his job. He's living in this dream that just now I'm going to get the letter and the draw is going to take place and I'm going to be the winner. Probably after a week or 2 weeks, his wife may have given him, the Indian people make a roti, So they have a stick. They call it a velan. So they have the stick to roll the roti. They call it a rolling pin, in English. So probably after 1-2 weeks when no money came and this fellow now can't pay the rent and can't pay the lights and water and no money for grocery, forget having a party, she must have given him a couple of conks with that. Why? Because he got deceived. Right? But he can still make amends. He can still find another job and carry on. But imagine if Shaitan has to deceive us regarding the hereafter. That we start attaching so much of importance to this world of deception. And we don't prepare for the hereafter. And we meet our end. We meet our end only to realize that, look, I wasted my time. But there's no returning to the world. There's no second chance. We can't come back. So let us not be fooled. Let us not be deceived. And sometimes when we talk about Qiyamah, then we feel that this Qiyamah is something that is very far off, something far away. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, مَمْ مَاتَ فَقَدْ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتُهُ. That person, as soon as a person dies, as soon as a person passes on, his Qiyamah has commenced. Because he has already moved on, he's journeyed on to the hereafter. So his Qiyamah has already commenced. So sometimes we're thinking, oh, Qiyamah is still far off, but I don't know if I'm going to reach home. I don't know if I'm going to get home. So if I have to pass on, my Qiyamah has commenced. My Qiyamah has commenced. One Bedouin, he came up to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu an narrates this hadith. He came up to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asks Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, matas sa'a? That when is Qiyamah? When is this Qiyamah going to take place? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't answer him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa could have told him, as he told Jibreel, on one occasion when Jibreel alayhi salam had come in the form of a human being, in the gathering of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he came and he sat in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a few questions. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered these questions. And then he woke up and went away. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an, that do you know who that was? He says, no, Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know best. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, no, that was Jibreel. He came to teach you your deen. Sometimes Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they had so much of respect, so much of awe for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they wouldn't ask too many questions. So Jibreel alayhi sallam came and he asked the questions for everyone to benefit. So one of the questions was, when will Qiyamah take place? So there Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered Jibreel in a most beautiful way. He said to him, مَلْ مَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. The one who is being asked is no more knowledgeable than the one who is asking. In other words, this knowledge is only with Allah Ta'ala. Nobody else knows when Qiyamah is going to take place. But when this Bedouin came and he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this question, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have given him the similar answer that nobody knows this, only Allah Ta'ala is aware of this. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, مَا أَعْدَدْتَ لَهَا. Then what have you prepared for this Qiyamah? That you are inquiring with regards to Qiyamah, that when is this Qiyamah going to take place? So when Qiyamah is going to take place is not in our control, it's not in our power. When Allah Rabbul Izzat wishes for Qiyamah to take place, it will take place. When Allah has decreed for Qiyamah to take place, it will take place. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is turning this Bedouin's attention, and for the benefit of each one of us, he's turning our attention that rather concentrate on preparation for Qiyamah, because that is in your control. When Qiyamah is going to take place, that is not in your control. So why are you worried about that? Worry about what's within your control, and what's within your control is to prepare for Qiyamah. So this Bedouin, what a beautiful reply he gave. He said that I haven't really prepared anything, but I love Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to him that you will be with those whom you love. So I need to ask myself, you need to ask yourself, that whom do I love? What do I love? In which direction is my life going? If I love Allah Ta'ala, then when Allah Ta'ala is calling me at Subh, am I responding? When Allah Ta'ala has given me certain commands, am I carrying them out? That will be the proof of my love. If I say that I love Allah Ta'ala, I love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then how much of the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have I studied? Have I acquainted myself? Have I brought into my life? So it is of paramount importance that each one of us, we study our deen. Just as we take time out to study everything else. I mean, if we take the elderly in our communities, they grew up at a time when we never had these devices. We never had computers. And when these devices came about, they had to learn how to use it. Some had to learn from their grandchildren. The children, those who are growing up with this, it comes natural to them. But others had to learn it. Every person who chooses a field, who chooses a method of earning his risk, there is a level of study. He has to study, he has to learn. A person wants to be a carpenter, he has to learn. Why, when it comes to our deen, which is for our salvation for eternity, let me ask myself, how much of time am I taking out to study that? Do I even take out half an hour daily to study my deen? And why this is so important is that as we come close to Qiyamah, this knowledge of deen is going to be taken away. Until a time comes when even the words of the Quran will be taken away. And Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take away ilm from this world. He will not take away ilm by removing it from the hearts of the people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away ilm بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَا. Allah Ta'ala will remove the ulama from the world. And then when there are no ulama left, when there are no people who have sound knowledge, then اتَّخَذَ النَّاسِ رُؤُوسًا جُهَّالًا. Then people will take as leaders ignorant ones. فَسُئِلُوا فَأَفْتَوْا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Then these people will be asked, they will be questioned, and they will pass fatawa, they will give verdicts with no knowledge. فَظَلُّوا وَأَظَلُّوا. So they themselves will be astray, and they will lead the communities astray. We know, with regards to halal and haram, recently a so-called mufti, he's asked a fatwa with regards to purchasing meat from a Christian outlet. Those people are not even, one is people who claim something is halal and it's not halal. Those people are not even claiming it is halal. And what is the verdict of the mufti? He says, read Bismillah and eat it. Something which Allah has declared haram, He is making halal. He is asked a question with regards to khamar. I say, yeah, you can drink. Just don't get drunk. Drink, just don't get drunk. Whereas Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining to us that something that intoxicates you, a lot of it intoxicates you, even a little of it is haram. So these are the times that we are living in. So it is imperative that each one of us, we study the deen of Allah Ta'ala, so that we can remain on Sirat-i-Mustaqim, we can keep our families on Sirat-i-Mustaqim. It is not your duty to keep me on Sirat-i-Mustaqim, it's not my duty to keep you. Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahdikum nara. O you who have brought iman, save yourselves and save your families from Jahannam. It's my duty, your duty, is every one of us, it is our duty to save ourselves and save our families from the fires of hell. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me tawfiq, Allah give you tawfiq, and we are fortunate that our ulama are here also in Cape Town. Tomorrow there is a program taking place at Qasimul Uloom. Each one of us, we should take some time out and try and attend the program, bring our children along, bring our friends along. It can be beneficial. We don't know at which moment Allah Ta'ala can make a decision for our hidayat, for the hidayat of our children, for our salvation in the world also and in the akhirat also. So we should try and attend the program at Qasimul Uloom. Tomorrow from Asr, the program will commence up until Isha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين